Coming to you live, recorded in a porta toilet on the side of I-35. It is WonderPod. I am joined this week by Gunsage.
Yo!
And his son Ike. I'm also joined this week by Swine Flu Boy, also known as Zombie Patrick.
What's going on, people? Episode 14 is contaminated.
Yeah, already. I have a condom over my microphone to keep his fucking flu bug away from me. Games we've been playing this week. Why don't you go, Gunsage? What have you been playing?
Well, if the chaos will die down. I did finally manage to pick up, Dante's Inferno. And I'm actually really liking it. The backgrounds, the environments, everything. They did a lot of, you know, really good attention to detail and everything. Really awesome, epic story. But, it kind of lets you know just how over the top it's going to be in the opening fight where you fucking kill Death with his own scythe and take it from him. But pretty awesome. Let's see, beyond that, I've pretty much been going back and forth between that and Resonance of Fate and Game Room a little bit and just kind of waiting for the new final fight to come out, seeing what else is going to go on with Game Room.
Patrick, I know you've been sick, but you were playing a little bit, weren't you?
Sure, yeah, just Gunsage about the Dante's game. Have you finished it, or are you still in the process of playing it?
Oh, no, I think I only got to, just past Gluttony, and I was playing so much other crap that I have to take it back after the show anyway, so dude, I probably won't get a chance to beat it.
Does it get repetitive, or is it pretty good? Does it keep your attention, or?
Oh, it keeps my attention. I love the backgrounds and what they did with the environments and everything. I mean, it's really over the top. It really is like a God of War archetype, but I'll tell you, it's really damn fun, and it's just insanely gory and everything, and it's just, I don't know. It's exactly what I would want if it was a game entirely based around hell.
Real quick, is it damaging to the fucking literature or not?
They should not have called it Dante's Inferno.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they should have just called it hell, or go to hell, or have fun in hell, or, they could have called it anything, but they didn't need to call it Dante's Inferno. I don't really understand why they did that, because it's just a bastardization of the original literature.
Well, yeah, I'm sure whoever wrote the original literature, and I can't remember now, is probably rolling over in his dusty grave. Yeah, whatever. If it's a fun video game, it's a fun video game. EA's marketing department just found the most amazing way to market it, and they went with it.
Oh, yeah.
So kudos to those little fucking weasel ferrets. Okay, Patrick.
Okay, well, I've been pretty ill last two or three days. See, the medication's already kicking in. So ill, in fact, that I haven't been on Xbox Live very much. And you know a gamer's sick when he isn't on Xbox Live. But I did download earlier in the week, before my virus attacked, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Stimulus Map Pack. It's pretty good. You know, aside from the high cost of it, the maps are pretty fun. They're different. I like the feeling of being actually lost in this game, you know, in a map. It's something I haven't had the feeling in a long time. You know, we all played the crap out of those original maps, and I still like them, but it's nice running around the place and having no idea what's around the corner and not knowing them off by heart. I like all the maps, especially the one that's set in the snow. That one's pretty cool. However, it seems that for some reason the two old maps that are included are much more frequently played than the three new ones. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just luck of the draw, but it really seems that way, that the old ones are more frequent. Apparently, there were some problems with the map pack at first. Things like not being able to join up in parties and major graphical shader errors. Apparently, I didn't experience these, but it was almost like raining. These large gray cubes were falling from the ground. Their shader engine was totally screwed up. But I didn't experience any of these problems, so I guess they fixed it within the first couple days. The map pack was a little on the pricey side, but as I said, I have a ton of points just burning a hole in my virtual pocket, so why not use it? Pretty fun. I don't see a lot of people online playing anymore as compared to, say, a month ago. There were a ton of people I could join up with anyone, but hopefully I'll find some people to play with. What else did I play? I went back and I played a little bit of Space Invaders Extreme on Xbox Live Arcade. That's a pretty cool little title. I recommend people at least try the demo. It's free. It's very similar to the updated Galaga and the updated Pac-Man, Pac-Man CE. You know, it's psychedelic. It's just a cool, fun update to a classic game. It's pretty addictive. The Space Invaders game was originally a DS title, but I didn't bother buying it, and I downloaded it on Xbox Live instead to get a few achievements. Pretty addictive, pretty cool. Aside from that, I guess I've played a little Perfect Dark and a little Battlefield Bad Company with Carlos, Eyepinch, and that Origin character. That's all I had for this week.
I played Civilization 4 on PC. Nothing new there. I've played Battlefield since Patrick couldn't be unmedicated long enough the other night. I decided to play Battlefield by myself, and I made the most amazing, annoying sniper shot. It's the second most amazing one I've ever made to Battlefield series. I had one in 42 that was probably more amazing. Patrick, you know the map Panama where we always guard A? It's got the big ship in the center of it.
Yeah.
You know where the Bradley spawns, the little fighting tank when you capture that flag?
Yep.
And you know that building I like to hide in?
Yeah.
I killed a guy from there clear over to their spawn.
Nice.
It took 5 shots. But on the 5th one, I was able to fucking lift the gun up enough. And I don't know exactly, you know those half-finished buildings in the Russian spawn? There's like 4 of them. 2 are closer to the spawn and 2 are higher, 2 are a little closer to the first capture point.
Yep.
I don't know which set he was on because I didn't look at his surroundings that close. I just saw him. I switched back to the original sniper rifle, even though it's a bolt action. It's just more powerful.
Yeah.
And I like the scope better. I could not believe when I hit that guy. I got 300 points for that kill. Here's the kicker. Here's the hilarious part. It was a headshot. When I saw that, I went, you gotta be shitting me. Fucking headshot. In fact, a lot of people that listen to the show go, yeah, right. But I mean, it was just, I quit playing. I guarded A as a medic for the rest of the round. I didn't even play a sniper anymore. I could not believe. And that's why I love Battlefield, though, because those maps are so bloody huge. I guarantee you that guy had no clue where it came from. None whatsoever. The other thing that I want to talk about a little bit in what I played this week is, I'm sure both of you have heard of Trials HD. It's a little motorcycle game. It got voted best arcade game this year. It was funny, when it came out, I'm like, oh god, nobody makes a good motorcycle game. Now, for those of you in the listening audience that don't know, I rode motorcycles, dirt bikes, street bikes for years from the time I was a kid. So, I guess because of that, I'm a little picky about motorcycle games. Well, when it won that award and I was reading about it on Joystick, I finally decided to download the demo, and the guys that created that game our development studio called Red Lynx, and I owe them an apology because it is the most fun little game. It's 1,200 points. To me, it's really worth it. What I find amazing about it is the physics of the motorcycle, because Trials is a very interesting kind of motorcycle racing. You go from point A to point B, just like any other kind of race, except you get a score, and that score is based on how many times you put your feet down. It's basically a test of balance. And I mean, these guys ride bikes. I've ridden a Trials bike. They're crazy. These guys ride bikes that weigh like, you know, 50 pounds, 60 pounds. The motor's the most heavy thing in them. And they literally balance on rocks, trees, bushes, so on and so forth. Well, Red Lynx took that concept and made it into a video game. They didn't bring the whole Trials rules of that nature. It's still a lot of fun, but it is a blast to play. I downloaded it and paid for it full this morning, and that's basically all I played today. I'd go for 5 minutes, win a few races or complete a few races and go back to doing other stuff. And it was just, it's a fun little game. I'd recommend at least downloading the demo. The demo is only like 220 megs. It's a lot of fun, and that's what I've been playing this week.
Yay!
Did you play the demo for that at all, Gunsage, or did you just pass it by?
I did when it originally came out with Shadow Complex and everything else, and I was kind of like, okay, so it's Excitebike. I mean, it was fun. I'm not saying it wasn't fun, but I was just kind of looking at it going, okay, so it's Excitebike. I think it was that, and also I kept on falling down, and I'm like...
I think one of the things that made it less frustrating for me was 3 guys, including a guy we play COD with, or used to a little bit, Glassinator.
Mm-hmm.
Had already played through a lot of it.
Ah.
And so trying to beat their times.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then there's a lot of unlockable called, like, skill contests that you get in the full game that are just a riot to play. There is one skill contest where you try and see how many bones you can break.
Nice.
You ride the bike as fast as possible and hit Y just as you're about to crash into this heavy object, this barrier they put. The highest I've gotten is 100 bones right now. But the dude... Did you play Carnivale Showtime at all when Jim was talking about it?
No, okay.
Because the guy literally becomes the little ragdoll beanbag clown dude in Carnivale Showtime. But the thing is you steer him with the stick to hit more shit, to break more bones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it did kind of remind me of Excitebike to a point. But really, those bikes are what a trials bike is. And, I mean, that's kind of what trials riding is. It actually reminded me of trials riding, Excitebike, like you said, and a lot of the mountain bike balance courses that you'll see at big places like Whistler, Blackcomb, and Aspen. And so, to me, it's fun. But I was surprised how many people on my friends list who I would have thought would have passed on something that was basically a motorcycle game and how well it's done. But I see how it's got mass appeal. Yeah.
Well, if it was a little cheaper, I would probably pick it up, especially if there's other people on our friends list are playing it. But I did also get that Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD remix with cheese. It's not bad. It's not bad. But I mean, like, literally as soon as I saw the price drop, I had just gotten back into playing Street Fighter 4 again. So I beat Street Fighter 4 with a couple of characters, and I was like, oh, okay, the price dropped on this. All right, I'll pick it up. And then I was like, wow, even with the new graphics, it feels really old. So, I don't know. It was fun, but I don't know anybody else that has it right offhand.
I have it.
Oh, okay. Now I know one person.
I actually accidentally invited to a party chat because the person was using a Horyu fighting stick.
Oh, yeah.
And they went to dust it off. It was her and another guy trying to work achievements in Street Fighter 4.
Nice.
It was funny listening to them. It reminded me of playing Street Fighter in the arcade at a cabinet with a buddy. It's what it sounded like. I was playing Battlefield single player and listening to those two. Okay, this week I'm not going to do a discussion topic, but I do have something that you gentlemen will either at least laugh at or possibly have something to add to. But here's the basics. Remember a few weeks ago when we talked about, and Patrick brought up some really good points, we talked about people who just attack writers in their comments and troll and, you know, attention Hort to the moon. And I realized something. I've been thinking about that since we did that show. And I realized something, that these people are just looking for their 15 minutes of fame that Andy Warhol promised us way back in the, late 70s, early 80s. So, being the nice guy that I am, I decided to do another public service announcement, much like we did quite a few episodes ago. But this time, I'm going to give a step-by-step guide to you little trolling commenters out there who just want attention. It's really simple, it's really easy, and I guarantee it will work. Now, the first thing you got to do is have a web camera. That should be a no-brainer. Most people have them. Second thing you have to do is strip down to your underwear. I mean, come on. Hey, you're gonna get some results out of this, so just follow me here. Third thing you have to do, and I mean, it's really not gender-specific, but it helps if it's the wilder the better, put underwear on your head. Personally, I think like 1800s bloomer-style underwear with polka dots, like maybe white and blue, something like that. Then, what I want you to do is take lipstick, permanent marker, whatever, and write attention right below your breasts on the front, and whore straight across your back. Okay, so now that you got all that done, turn on the webcam, use some kind of recording device, whatever floats your boat, and just run around like a loon. Just run around. Make sure that people can see you in your underwear, with underwear on your head, with writing on your front back. Doesn't even matter if they can read it. I'm just saying attention whore because that's what I think you are. Video at least a minute of that. You got to have at least a minute recording to keep people's attention span. Now, the final step is edit it and post it on YouTube. But there's a key here to posting it on YouTube. Don't just post it. Post it as a response to a really popular video that has like millions and millions of hits. That way you'll get more traffic. And in this way, you fine whoring commenters out there that annoy the shit out of me are doing two things. One, you're getting the attention you want. Sure, it's probably not going to be positive attention, but I can't do anything about that. And two, you're going to stop annoying me when I'm trying to read comments on gaming blogs. Gentlemen, thoughts on my concept to the attention whores out there? Either of you, everybody, I just feel better now that I've said it.
Well, you were talking about going ahead and putting underwear on the head. I can't help it. That gave me very vivid memories of doing the very short-lived King of Beer series that I made where beer bottles fight. But I put in an advertisement where I was very drunk and took my sister-in-law's Victoria's Secret bra and made an advertisement where basically I was saying, so, you know, sometimes you need to go ahead and real quickly correct your vision. So I recommend Vision Corrector 5000, and I'm holding up her bra, and then I tie it around my head, and it looks like I have giant bug eyes because I put it over my eyes.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, it was fun. I got to find that and post it on the site or something. Maybe even convert it to YouTube, then post it on the site.
There you go. Patrick, anything you'd like to add to my fascinating public service announcement?
Not much, not much. We'll probably get a bunch of comments on it now from these people. But, yeah, I pretty much had it up to here with all the negative posters, too. But like you said, they're just looking for attention.
Yeah, I mean, if you're negative in using the F word every third word, but your argument kind of makes sense and you have a legitimate gripe with the writer, I don't have a problem with that. It's just this faceless, baseless attacks because you've just decided that somebody doesn't need to exist or need to write on the internet or whatever. It's like, go pollute YouTube. You know, that's where the concept came from. So I decided that I'd just pass that along to you. Fine people in the listening audience. If nothing else, our normal listeners will get a sick chuckle out of it, and that'll be the end of it. Okay, let's go to news. And let me tell you what, people, I could really came on here, especially with Patrick being a little under the weather, and we could have went the iPad. Show over. Let's move on to Gamer Dick. I mean, we literally could have done that. Because while I'm being a little facetious, I saw shit so ridiculous on the major gaming blogs that it was literally titles like, watch a review of us powering up our iPad for the first time. I mean, it's like, come on. And then all these ported, rehashed iPhone and iPod Touch games that were simultaneously launched for the iPad. I personally don't care. The greatest thing I saw all week was the Will It Blend with the iPad. That made me laugh. Because the iPad gushing got old about the old fucking Tuesday, maybe late Monday night, especially if you're on Twitter. Was there anything out of the iPad launch that interested you to, or anything you want to say about the iPad in general? Gunsage.
Well, not really, but I'm wondering. So Apple's a pretty progressive company, and now they made this iPad thing. So I'm wondering if they're going to go ahead and start going toward more, you know, green energy as far as the iPad. Like maybe they'll have, instead of a battery that can corrode and destroy the earth and everything like that, they'll have one that can recharge. And recharge it, you have to shake it. But because of all the processing power and everything in the iPad, they're going to start calling it iParkinson's.
He should have went with,
I just gotta write shit down here.
He should have went with eye leprosy. Epilepsy. Apple, not leprosy.
I'm Michael J. Fox.
He can be reached at gunsage@idontgiveafuck.com. Patrick, before we get to the story you sent me, do you have anything about the iPad launch that you saw? The Will It Blend was funny.
Not as much about the launch as much as about the iPad itself. And, you know, there's great debate. Some people saying, you know, it's a worthless piece of technology. Other people liking it. Some people loving it. You know, I really think there's two sides to it. You know, it's an interesting little gizmo, and there's two ways of looking at it, really. You know, the first way of looking at it is, you know, it's not new technology. You know, it is really just an iPod Touch or an iPhone stretched and made bigger. So if you already own an iPod Touch or an iPhone, PC or a laptop or a BlackBerry or all those things, you know, there's really no reason to get this aside from marketing hype. Why would you want to get another Wi-Fi portable gizmo to go with all the other ones you have? You know, so that's one way of looking at it. But on the other hand, if you don't own a laptop or a BlackBerry or the various other iPod Touch things, it could definitely be worth your time to at least check it out. Because, you know, I personally fall into that category here. And, you know, I only have one PC in my house. It's a desktop and it's not portable. So I live with my wife who likes to go to Facebook and play Farmville and all that stuff. So sometimes there's a bit of conflict because we both want to be on the same computer at the same time, you know. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea that we'll probably end up getting eventually, but I definitely understand why a lot of people, you know, aren't interested in it at all.
I'm going to use a word that you just used to explain how loony it's getting and how touchy people are getting on one hand. I was going to say who said this on Twitter and I changed my mind. You know the word gizmo you used?
Yeah.
I saw somebody claim that if you're calling the iPad a gizmo earlier today on Twitter, you're stupid. And it's like, what? Have we really gotten this far? So it's an older word. I personally like the word gizmo or gadget. I didn't realize in the lexicon of cool nerd words that you couldn't use gizmo anymore. Granted, the person I'm speaking of is a complete Apple zombie, as I call them, would buy, you know, a roll of toilet paper with a screen in it if Apple launched it. I was kind of like you, Patrick, you brought up some interesting points. Excuse me, let me rephrase. I kind of was really blah about this. Don't care. Because, like you said, I have right here a desktop PC, my laptop, my 360, my PlayStation 2, my phone, which is touchscreen and does everything I need it to do. You know, it's like I have no use for an iPad. It's cool looking. I will grant it that. Any use for anything like it right at the moment. And I kind of thought it was a little bit, you know, kind of useless tech until I talked to a buddy of mine who's currently here in the States. He lives in the Ukraine most of the time, and he is traveling all the time with the work that he does. And he needs to travel really light. And he has right now a Sony Vaio that is really tiny. It's not a netbook. It's a full-size notebook, but it's really tiny and it weighs very little. But the iPad for the industry he's in and the work that he does makes sense for him. I think he's the first person I've talked to or heard of by it that it actually made sense for him because it's so slim. It's so tiny. It has enough processing power. It's bigger than the iPod Touch. He already has an iPhone, but he mostly uses that for the phone. So I have seen cases, and I'm being facetious when I say he's the only one I've seen that's got a legitimate use for it. I've seen cases where, you know, obviously people have uses for it. So it's got a place, but I get sick and tired of the gushing when anything new from Apple comes out.
What I was going to say was, I thought they already had something like this. That's the reason why I didn't really care. Like, you know, like a note, like fucking, I know especially there's a lot of like artists on like DeviantArt and shit that have something where you can just draw on a fucking pad and draw.
That is a Wavecom. It's either a Wacom or I'm saying it wrong, but that's just specifically for drawing. All that does is instead of hand drawing it, scanning it into Photoshop or whatever you like to use to make comics and stuff, you draw digitally. It doesn't do what the iPad does.
See, that's why I was getting a little confused. Plus, the other thing is I'm like, so it's basically just a big iPhone, you know? That's the reason why I don't really care anymore. It's like, don't look at the man behind the curtain. I don't give a fuck anymore. Ultimately, it's just the I. It's like a fucking sailor, for fuck's sake. It just, it gets me annoyed because anything from Apple is seen as cutting edge and brand new, and it's like, I don't give a fuck. It just seems retarded to me. It's like whenever they went ahead and released the MacBook Air. It's thin. Well, what can it do? It's thin. It's thin. I mean, I really don't care. There's some technology that comes out and it doesn't even matter who the manufacturer is. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I probably won't use it, but that's cool. The iPad, I'm like, it's a fucking pad, you know, whatever. I don't care. I really don't care.
No, I hear you. I'm in the same boat. But I'll tell you one thing. The problem with the reason it gets covered as Apple being, cutting edge and this and that, is they haven't had the PR nightmares that Microsoft's had. There's been this aura. Aura is not the right word. There's been this kind of perception that Apple's the good guys, that they make cutting edge stuff. And there's a lot of elitists and honest-to-God snobs who make it worse for Apple. I like Mac products. If I was doing more audio editing like this show here, I would not be doing it on a PC. I can tell you that right now. It just doesn't make sense. So there's that to it, Gunsage. And like you, I get fed up with it. That's why my opening I said, you know, we review turning it on. I mean, it gets old real quick.
Well, it's that, and they are right. It's not a gizmo. I mean, it's not a Mogwai.
Yeah, I know. That guy was just being a dick.
Turned into a gremlin.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could talk somebody into pouring water on it after midnight and see what happens.
I didn't even know the real words that it couldn't be used anymore.
It just pissed me off because it's like, wow, you're going with the verbiage? I mean, it's a tweet. It's 140 characters. I'm sure he was pissed because the guy was ripping on the iPad.
Will it gremlin? That's the question.
But in other news, and Patrick sent this to me late this afternoon, Apple had a live blog, and this is part of the reason why GunSage gets so pissed, because there's so much hype, because of the way they present shit beautifully. I mean, they make you think it's NASA. The gist of it is with the next iPhone OS, which is 4, Apple is about to take Sony and Nintendo and beat them on the head with a bat. What you need to know is they have basically made for the iPhone and the iPod Touch Xbox Live. And real quick, I'll tell you, I was already thinking about getting an iPod Touch earlier. This just makes me want to get it even more. Gentlemen, what do you think of Apple's announcement today?
Well, talk about beating Nintendo to the punch. I mean, holy cow, just kind of like what you said there, Bruce. You know, Nintendo should almost be ashamed that this newcomer into gaming, Apple, has already announced a superior online service that's found on the DS or the Wii. You know, they should almost be embarrassed that Apple comes up with this so quickly. They're trumping both Sony and Nintendo's online service without really having a good game library. Seems like an Xbox Live ripoff. It has, what does it have here, achievements and friends and invites. But, I mean, ripping off gaming ideas seems to be the norm in the industry for years and years. At least somebody didn't rip off Nintendo for a change. I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, I will probably at some point be buying one of those iPads just because I don't have all the other laptops and crap, and I'm sure that this will be integrated into it right away. I think it's a good idea. You know, like I said, Nintendo, hello, wake up.
I'm kind of apathetic about the whole deal. I mean, honestly, so they basically have a portable Xbox Live now for the iPhone, which is nice. Just have to see how it goes, I guess. But I thought didn't they kind of already have that, though? Because, I mean, they already had games for the iPhone and shit, right?
Well, right. What this does is it's basically going to let you hook up with other friends, other people close by if you're at a Wi-Fi hotspot, like Xbox Live does.
I thought they already did that.
Nah.
This is just brand new.
Kind of. Yeah. It was more like, you know, when you used to plug in two GBA advances with a cord.
Ow.
Except
okay.
Wirelessly.
Yep.
For me, it's like I said, what was it, the last show? Patrick's our resident historian. Last show or show before, I said I would buy an iPod Touch before I bought a DS and PSP because I don't have to pack around carts. I don't have to pack around any of that crap. Yeah, the game catalog's not great, but I think with the iPad development, which developers seem to be jizzing themselves over, it's going to trickle down to mean better games for the iPod Touch. Fuck, it's so hard to say all these right.
Yeah.
The i-whatever. You know, I think it's going to have a trickle-down effect. And in portable gaming, I don't need Crysis graphics, okay? I don't. I just, these people that go, wow, it doesn't look as good as my desktop with 5 video cards and a fucking, you know, cooling system, I just don't think I can play it.
If I can't play Doom 3 on it, it ain't worth playing.
That's why I said Crysis. Yeah, that's the new one. It's
yep.
It's like, what? It's portable gaming. I'm playing it while I'm taking a shit. I'm playing it while I'm waiting in an airport. I'm playing it, you know, it's like,
yep, exactly.
I don't need mind-blowing graphics while I'm taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. Sorry. You know, I mean, for those of you that like Apple, we brought you Apple News. You're lucky we brought you Apple News, because if I'd found a couple more stories, I wouldn't have touched this with a 10-foot pole. I'm so sick of it. Any final thoughts, Patrick, before we...
Nope.
So you are thinking about getting an iPad?
Oh, yeah, just because we don't have a laptop or any of those BlackBerry type things. It would be nice to have another internet browser at the least. And you never know, maybe there'll be some interesting games to play on it too in the future. So
I think it's a good deal. If you wait about a year, the price will come down. I mean, you can pick up good laptops for as cheap as, like, you know, high threes, low fours. And I don't even know what the damn iPad's pricing points are, but some journalist I am. But I think you wait about a year, see what games, or, you know, whatever you want, 6 months at the least, I think it would be a pretty good purchase for somebody like you. I really do. And I mean, the damn thing, you probably end up losing it in the couch cushions would be your biggest problem. You know? Where'd the damn iPad go? You hear it doot, 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 under the couch. Okay, our next story was a little difficult for me to go ahead and decide to do on a gaming podcast because we're not a political podcast. I mean, I could cover this story from like 600 different angles easily because it kind of actually interested me and I did a lot of research on it just for my own amusement. But what this guy said and the reason I think he said it made it very important for video game type setting like we're in to cover it. Now, the background, the story itself comes from Kotaku, but the background basically is, if you haven't seen it already, is the whistleblower site WikiLeaks released a video of an Apache helicopter killing a bunch of civilians. And that's all horrible and all this and that. You got typical comments coming from one side and the other and all this and that. But in the story and in the press release involved with this story, a gentleman from WikiLeaks, and it's the only thing I want to cover here, an Australian journalist and WikiLeaks advisor, I'm reading from the Kotaku story now, board member Julian Assange released the video at the National Press Club in Washington. "The behavior of the pilots is like they're playing a video game," said Assange, according to a report from Fox News. "It's like they want to get a high score in that computer game." Now, I'm going to stop it right there. Like I said, you could discuss multiple angles on this. It's my contention that this gentleman used the word video game and computer game just to draw people in, just to try and use the current violent video game hook to bring attention to their video and their agenda. And I'm sorry, I don't see them as a watchdog group anymore with this piece. They've got an agenda. Do you gentlemen agree that he used video game and computer game on purpose to hype it?
Oh, absolutely. That, and it's pretty funny. He says, "The behavior of the pilots is like they're playing a video game. It's like they want to get high scores in that computer game." First off, what computer game? Second, computer game? You don't worry about high scores in a computer game. Is this guy born retarded, or did he have to go to retard school? I mean, come on. It's just shit. But, you know, beyond that, obviously, he's using that particular buzzword, or, well, using it as a buzzword, rather, to imply, well, because of video games, or look at what video games do, or, you know, some retarded bullshit like that, basically.
Patrick.
Well, definitely he used some buzzwords to get attention, playing video games, etc. But did you guys actually watch the footage?
Yeah, I've watched.
From what I saw of the footage, there actually were times when the soldiers did sort of act unprofessional and almost like it was, I wouldn't say it was like a video game, but someone could interpret it that way. I mean, one of the times, one of the gunners said something along the lines of, "Come on, let me shoot," like at that point. And there clearly were small children in front of the window of the van, and they didn't mention this. Almost like they didn't want, you know, command to tell them to not shoot. Almost like they were trigger happy. So I don't think the soldiers were taking a scene out of Call of Duty or Battlefield Bad Company. I mean, they're there in real life and they're in situations I would never understand. There's no need to blame a video game or even talk about a video game for this behavior. But, you know, there were a few parts in there where they acted unprofessional. Whether or not that would be like a gamer playing a video game, you know, I don't think so. You know, it's just a case that, you know, games like Call of Duty and Battlefield are now becoming very realistic, very realistic games, and they look so real, and it's things that are happening right now in the real world. I don't know. It's hard to say. I definitely think it's being blown out of proportion, but they should investigate what's going on in this situation, that's for sure.
Let me ask you a quick question, because like I said, I've watched this video five or six times. Did you yourself, before they shot, see the children in the front of the van?
Depends on which. There's two camera angles, right? Like, I don't know which version of the video you watched, but
The one that was linked here for your purposes.
I think is there two helicopters, or what's the deal there?
Yeah, they work in pairs.
Yeah, from one vantage point you couldn't see, but at the end of the video, near the end of the video, one of them goes around one of the sides and you can clearly see them, right?
But is that before or after they shot?
This was before they shot. The ones that were talking, I think, were the ones that had the bad vantage point, and the video they showed at the end were from the people on the other side. People who shot, the chopper that shot, I believe, didn't have a good view, but the other guy did, right? So it's hard to say, you know.
Well, I just was curious because this was a bad shoot.
Yep.
But it was not baby killing, let's wipe out civilians either.
Definitely not.
Bottom line, from a video game aspect, the WikiLeaks board member, he should have just said it's like they were playing a game. He should have phrased it some other way. There was no reason for video games to be involved in this, and I don't find it amusing for him to try and do this tie-in so that they can break the news to the world. I think they would have gotten plenty of press coverage, you know, without that. Gunsage, any final thoughts on the...
Well, statistically speaking, you know, there were children in them thar pipe bombs, too. I mean, you know, when you really look at a battlefield situation, especially in a situation that there's almost always going to be civilians involved like this, I mean, the possibility for that happening is always there. And it's very unfortunate. I'm not saying, oh, it's okay, whatever. I'm just saying it's possible. And especially, like you were saying, if the one dude had an RPG, hey, it sucks the kids were there, but they just saved their own asses, more or less.
The military needs to realize that this is going to keep happening, that they're going to show up on YouTube, and that they really need to train their pilots and personnel to just not say shit. It's almost like you got to have a lawyer riding with them anymore. You know,
have better customer service skills.
Well, listening to this radio and just listening to the voices, I watched it one time, not even watching it. I'm sorry, but there was no... The one guy went, ha-ha, but there was no glee. There was no bloodlust. There was none of this crap that people are trying to claim, that these pilots were doing. And really, to tell you the truth, they got clearance. They followed their protocol as they're supposed to do. You know, you want to hang somebody from the tree, hang the higher-ups that were there on the ground that day. So, yeah... Dirtbag shouldn't have used the word video games in there. Okay, on to a less tragic, although funnier, story. This one comes to us from 1UP, and I'm sure to our listeners who follow video games, it should come as no surprise. I sure shit know it didn't surprise me. The screaming headline, this comes from, who the hell does it come from? Joystick? Sure, why not? Oh no, 1UP, excuse me. This comes from 1UP. Infinity Ward loses two more key staff figures. The Titanic is going down by the bow. Figure out which part I added. Following the ousting of studio heads Jason West and Vince Zambella under rather bizarre circumstances last month, Modern Warfare 2 developer Infinity Ward, or as Gunsage calls it, it's becoming truer by the day, Finite Ward, has now lost two more key figures from its staff, lead designer Todd Alderman and lead software engineer Francisco Giolillo. Oh, Jesus. He's an Italian dude. Word of the... Word of the departure of these two spread after the two updated their LinkedIn profiles to reflect their newfound unemployment. Although the reasons for their departure hasn't been confirmed, Kotaku reports that a source close to the studio said they resigned. Alderman had been with Infinity Ward for over 8 years and was a key member of the Modern Warfare series. The other guy had been there for 7 years. Yada, yada, yada. Are we about ready to declare COD and Infinity Ward toast in just a friggin' puppet of Activision's?
What else have they done? They've just done the Call of Duty games, right?
Well, that's all Infinity Ward's done since they've been linked up with Activision, yeah.
Okay, so it kind of almost sounds like, to a degree, of course, speculation, what's going on kind of with Bungie and Microsoft, too. They're all talented people, I'm sure. I mean, come on, we all like Modern Warfare 2. So I'm fairly certain at the very least they'll go on to do better things regardless of where they go. I don't know if we'll necessarily, you know, need to follow them like fucking Tim Schafer or something. But, you know, it kind of doesn't really matter. I mean, Modern Warfare 2 is pretty cool. Modern Warfare 1 was pretty cool. Never really tried the other Call of Duty games. And now it's kind of collapsing on itself. You know, it's not that big of a deal, really. Games will go on.
Patrick.
Well, the story is really no surprise. We probably saw this coming, you know. And I think it's only the start, really, of what's to come. You know, more and more disgruntled employees, apparently, at Infinity Ward will more than likely be jumping ship when the time is right for them to do so, or when their contracts allow them to do so. I really think that a new company founded by these original guys is just around the corner. It could be a good thing for gamers, you know, as new franchises will likely be released in the future. You know, it is a bit sad to see people getting fired and people quitting. people suing their former employees. You know, none of that's never good. But, you know, on a more positive note, as I said, these are very talented people. And wherever they end up, more than likely they're going to end up back together under a different name. They will, you know, it's going to result in a very good end product for us gamers. Whether or not the Call of Duty franchise will survive this, you know, turmoil, I don't know. But there will be a game coming out in the future when these guys get back together again. And, you know, I think it's going to be good. So, yeah, I think Call of Duty might be done, but that's the bad thing. But the good thing is, like I said, something's going to come along when they get back together, and it'll be, you know, a good end product, I'm sure.
Yeah, speaking to what Gunsage said, he's right to a point. It doesn't matter because they've never done anything outside of first-person shooters. But that doesn't really matter. I mean, there's companies that've never done anything outside of RPGs either. What you said, Patrick, is the reason I did this story and the reason I'm keeping interest in it. You know, a lot of these guys, at least the two founders of Infinity Ward, had left 2015, who had done the original Medal of Honor series. Good games, had, you know, took first-person shooters someplace new. Then you have Infinity Ward with Call of Duty. You know, they've done different and better things with first-person shooter genre. And I think, like you said, that's what's going to happen here. You're going to see these four guys, plus whoever else leaves the ship, form a studio in probably under a year, I would guess. And that's, as Gunsage said, that's pure speculation, just a guess. And you'll see them back with another first-person shooter. And I would about be willing to bet my last dollar it's going to be good. Here's what I'm curious about, though. Okay, 2015, did their publisher was EA. So I know West and Zampella probably don't love them to death. They don't love Activision to death at all. So I'm kind of wondering who's going to publish their next one. Is it going to be Take-Two or Valve? I mean, or God help us, Ubisoft.
Well, if Microsoft was smart, they'd get these guys together and pay them a ton of money and make them exclusive developers.
And give them a 2 or 3 year cycle.
Yep.
Gunsage, any final thoughts on the sinking ship at an Infinity Ward?
Well, again, the way I look at it is, you know, if you get comfortable and you do the same thing over and over and over again, I'm not even saying Modern Warfare 2 is a bad game. I just said, you know, it's a good game. But, okay, it's kind of like Halo. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again because the formula works. Okay, that's cool. But this is an opportunity for them to do something new. They can continue doing first-person shooters if they want, and like you said, most likely they'll be great. It doesn't really matter. Or now they can branch off and do something else, because there's a good chance that if Infinity Ward survives this, they're just going to keep making the same shit over and over again because they're going to have pressure from Activision to do so. So these guys actually have a chance to do something new and groundbreaking.
Well, if they do something new and groundbreaking, I about bet you it's going to be first-person shooters. And I mean, while you're right, yeah, maybe moving into a new genre would be good too. I just don't think you should hold your breath.
I know. Mean,
and I don't think you have to. There's plenty of new ground to be broken staying in the same genre. I mean, yeah, like you said, it'd be nice. I'd like to see him do an RTS or, you know, an RPG. I'm thinking it's probably not going to happen, but
Redneck Rampage 2.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Long Haul Trucking 3. Some days I wonder how Activision keeps afloat. Oh, wait, the mindless sheep who say they're not going to buy their shit, then buy their shit anyway. I reference the 2.5 million downloads of the stupid map pack. Yeah.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It is. It's a Ponzi scheme. That's what it is. That bastard, that former billionaire that's now running in jail for a Ponzi scheme is probably pissed he didn't get into the game business. Well, it's a legitimate Ponzi scheme. That's all.
Well, it's gamer social peer pressure. You know, one guy gets it, so another guy has to get it. Well, they have it, so I got to get it. Well, if everyone else has it and I want to keep playing this game, I got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you buy the game, you have to keep buying the shit.
Well, you don't have to. See, that's the problem. That's the problem right there. The mentality is you have to.
Right. It is, it's feeding off, you know, marketing compulsion, obsession.
Right, and I mean, I'm living quite nice and comfortable without that $15 map pack. I play Battlefield Bad Company 2 every night, you know? I'm well-adjusted and sleeping perfectly, so.
Yeah, but, you know, at some point, obey.
No. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
If it was going to happen, if I was going to buckle and hypocrite like all the protesters, it would have happened within the first 2 days.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
It ain't happened now.
To this day, I still thought about it. I was like, Do I want to? No, because there's other stuff that's coming out that I want instead. I don't really play Modern Warfare 2 that much anymore. And if I do, I'll probably play it with everybody here and avoid the rooms until we find one 5 days later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because they're still cornholing party chat. Okay, and in our last story, yes, I know it was a short news segment, but we should have pretty good gamer dick this week. The last story is really pretty simple, and it's actually going to be like a golf clap applause, I'm glad to see it story. It comes to us from Eurogamer. The headline is Violent Games, Buck Stops with Parents. Parents must take responsibility for keeping violent content away from children. That was the message this morning from the Mothers Against Violence in a BBC Radio Leeds debate on violent video games. A spokesman for the organization whose aim is to promote the eradication of violence and to relieve the victims of the effects of violence within the community told the station, "I'm not directly blaming games. I'm blaming parents." Adding, if someone doesn't do something, where does it stop? Grand Theft Auto is inevitably the focal point of this discussion between the parent presenters and games journalists, with the handheld version of the series produced locally at Rockstar Leeds. On GTA, the mother said, why is it okay to beat up a prostitute, but not okay to pick up a normal civilian? In fact, GTA features the ability to pick up and drive around normal civilians. That made no sense the first 5 times I've read it. I have a feeling they transcribed it wrong. A broader point made was that many parents, despite age ratings on the package, don't pay attention to the game their children are playing. Not are they aware of the negative effects they could have. The Mothers Against Violence spokesperson called on the other mothers to help educate parents on the issue, stating it just takes one of us to spread the word, to plant the seed. It's about taking the time to study what games are all about, she added, expressing fears that violent games were desensitizing children who are becoming complacent and think they're invincible. Rockstar, blah, 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 blah. I just want to give them a round of applause. It's about goddamn time that at least one group, and it's actually a little surprising, it's coming out of the UK. So I just want to give a tip of the cap to the Mothers Against Violence. You got the right idea. It's the people who are the problem, not the goddamn games. Gentlemen, thoughts?
You know, I'm really surprised that there actually is a watchdog group, you know, formally admitting this now. You know, something that we as gamers have been saying for years, okay, why are you blaming the games when clearly, you know, people are the ones to blame if the kid is not ready for this game? Where was the parent? Why didn't the parent step in and say this? But it leads me to something that occurred in college with me. Several times through college, I went ahead and did all kinds of different research and everything on games, the effects of games, things of that nature. And one thing that we did as a group is we all independently researched pros and cons of video games, the future of it, the history of it, blah, 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 blah. Well, at first, we didn't have it set up correctly, so I had researched the pros, somebody else had researched the cons, but they weren't able to make it there that day, so we kind of had to wing it. And I went ahead and presented the pros, and I said, you know, what it really comes down to is, you know, what a kid takes away from a video game is different given the circumstance, but ultimately it is the parent's responsibility to, you know, be there with the kid, show the kid, well, this isn't right, this is what's right, you know, so on and so forth, this is what right and wrong is, these are the values I'm instilling in you, and then just hope that the kid makes the right decisions in their life. You know, a video game alone is not necessarily going to, you know, cause them to do this. And then whenever I got done, she came up, and the first thing she said was, well, they, you know, that's assuming, of course, that, you know, we have bad parents. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't have bad parents. And she went on from there, and I'm thinking, so the first thing you did was immediately got hung up on the parent aspect, when what I was trying to say was, you know, if the parents aren't even involved in the kids' lives at all, not even instilling morals and values and things of that nature, then anything is going to influence the kid. It doesn't have to be a video game. It can be anything at all. You know, don't blame the video games for irrational behavior.
Well, right, yeah, no, I see your point. And I mean, it's a smart move on their part, because it's going to solve the problem faster than blaming video games, which is what you're saying is that video games are just a symptom of the problem, and it doesn't matter what the influence is. And I agree with that. Patrick, your thoughts on these fine folks?
I am very glad to see that there are organizations out there that focus where the real problem lies within violent media, whether it's TV, movies, or our specialty video games. You know, the problem is, of course, as they said in the article, irresponsible parents. You know, it should be up to the parents to decide what a child can watch on TV or play at home on their consoles. It's the parents' responsibility to make sure that adult-rated content, such as Grand Theft Auto or a violent movie, is not in the hands of their children. You know, the ratings are out there on products for a reason. You know, they're there on games. Their parents need to make sure that kids don't play violent 16-plus or 18-plus games. It's not the game's fault. It's the parent for letting them play it, you know? These games exist. They're, you know, they're not going to go away. They're more than likely will always exist. They're not supposed to be played by children. They're not intended to be played by children. So parents need to stop blaming an adult-rated game for the violence and the effects it has on their kids, and start blaming themselves for not being responsible observers, really, you know? I think this group really hit it, you know, hit the nail on the head, and I hope there's more groups like this that start focusing on the fact that parenting is the issue.
Yep, basically. I mean, and like I said, I just wanted to bring it up to, you know, because not too many other people are going to, and it's nice to see. I mean, Gunsage is correct that anything can influence a child who isn't given a basic set of values by a parental figure, not even so much biological. But at the same time, it's nice to see some of these groups that usually just go the easy route and bash games or bash movies, TV, music, the earth rotating, to, you know, to come out and say this. Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, that's it for news. We're going to move on to Gamerdick. Gunsage, do you have any Gamerdick?
Nope. I actually didn't play anything online with anybody. It's kind of surprising. I'm a hermit.
Patrick, do you want to go over the second type we ran into?
Well, if you want to do both of them, I kind of have somebody.
Oh, do you have somebody?
I sort of do. Okay. If you want to go over those two all on your own, I'll mention someone. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to do
Go ahead and go.
This is more of a story. It's not from, it has to do with video games, and it actually has, it's a kind of good segue from our last story when we talked about irresponsible parents and blaming other things on, you know. One of our listeners, Mr. I Pinch, who we've mentioned before, was at an electronic boutique store looking in the used game bin. And you know how they have demo stations for the Wii and for the PlayStation 3 and all those things, right? So there's some kid playing PlayStation, and you know, he's been there for quite a while. And I Pinch notices another kid come up to the station and kind of hangs out there, and apparently the other kid grabs one of the controllers, right? So there's a mother nearby, and the mom just starts screaming at this kid to get the hell away from the game machine, you know, right? So then at that point, Mr. I Pinch starts paying a little more attention, and the mother comes up to him and says, you know, I can't fucking believe how fucking rude that fucking kid was. He wanted to take the game from my kid who was already there, right? And this is right in front of her little child. And, you know, Mr. I Pinch, otherwise known as Chris, just looked at her and said, you think that kid's rude? You just dropped the F-bomb like 4 times in front of your 9-year-old. So, not exactly a gamer dick, but I thought I'd throw that out. You know, when we're talking about parents and irresponsibility, I mean, there was a big dick herself there.
I totally agree, and I applaud I Pinch for saying that. He really does not like the F word, does he?
Well, in this case, I mean,
no, I agree with him. I try not to drop it around 9-year-olds either. I'm not always successful, but I try not to. I mean, you can mentally damage a child so well with normal words. Why do you need to use the F word? Psychologically damaged, I should say. Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that other kid probably wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe the kid has brothers and sisters and he's used to sharing things, you know? And maybe the kid went up there and was going to share. There's two controllers, isn't there, usually on those stations? So maybe he wanted to play with the kid. Like, I don't know.
There's usually two controllers on most demo stations.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. I Pinch, for a gaming bitch.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, worthless skag. I'd have done the same thing Chris did. Would you have, Gunsage, would you have said something?
Probably not. I probably would have cussed even louder at her. Like, I cannot believe these fucking kids would have fucking did this. Be like, they're like, hey, you motherfucking tell them, you motherfucking shitbag cunt.
See, the only reason you'd have been screaming at the kids is because you wanted the demo station.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then all the parents go ahead and leave the store all shocked. I'm like, Yay! It's Mario!
And for myself, Patrick and I were playing the other night, Battlefield Bad Company 2, and there's very few maps that have the choppers, helicopters. I liked flying them in the Battlefield 1942 mod Desert Combat, and hadn't had a chance to yet. So I told Patrick, you know, dude, this round I'm going to try and fly a helicopter. Well, just like those of you that have played Battlefield 43, you got to wait a while for the choppers, and hilarity ensues, and usually your teammates are a bunch of dicks. And I will admit, this situation kind of sort of broke down to the point where I became a dick as well. But what basically happened is these two gentlemen, Wolfpack 43D Creative and Killer Spade 27G, I'm sure they're both about 110 pounds soaking wet and couldn't beat their way out of a wet paper bag, would repeatedly, up to the point of crashing the helicopter that was getting the shit kicked out of it right next to the landing pad, would repeatedly run for the choppers. So I thought, okay, fine. So I started waiting closer and closer to where it spawned. Finally, it spawns when I'm close enough to maybe get into it, and I don't know whether on purpose or he just got lucky, one of the little douchebags pushed my little guy out of the way, and I didn't get the goddamn chopper again. So it pissed me off. So I got on an AA gun and started shooting at them. That was where I became a dick. Then it gets funnier, and even Patrick got involved at this point. They crash the chopper and get killed again. They respawn right next to it, and all three of us, those two together and me, run for it, and the obvious thing happened. One of them got in, one of them did not. Now, the one that got in was the pilot. I was in the co-pilot seat shooting the little cannon, and instead of taking off, he sat there, waiting, I guess, for me to get out, his buddy looking at his little animated character dude, looking like he's beating on the chopper, trying to get in, and he wouldn't take off. So I just sat there, and finally I turned the minigun around and started shooting at his little buddy trying to get in. The next thing I know, Patrick's throwing grenades at us in the helicopter, trying to hit his buddy. So it's like, okay, I understand you want to fly. This just is a symptom of a bigger problem. These two idiots would do nothing but get into vehicles. They almost ran over Patrick in a Humvee trying to get to a damn tank. That was all they would do. I don't know if it added anything to the game or not, but that's all they wanted to do. Which is fine, but it gets to the point, and a little later, and apparently Patrick got over being annoyed at him, we played with another guy whose name was Big Ol' Lemons, whose balls' actual size were probably the size of walnuts. The dude was like minus 10 and minus 20 in our games, and all he would do was drive tanks. And he wasn't very good at it if his score was minus 10 or minus 20. Didn't he finally rage quit?
Yep. Yeah, he left.
That was the dick I thought you'd want to do, because he was even worse. At least the other two, I think, were attempting to capture flags. But really, is it worth, I mean, if that's the way you want to play the game, I suppose there ain't shit I can do about it, but really? Are you really racking up points and leveling up and getting a new rank by acting like complete dipshits over the vehicles? I mean, hey, normally, if I hadn't gotten shoved out of the way trying to get in a helicopter, I'd have just went, okay, I'm not competing with these goons. But they took it above and beyond. They took it into the dick zone, and then they only made it worse when they tried running Patrick over with a tank. We're on the same team. It's just, it's beyond retarded, and you're not doing anything to help the team. And we're playing Conquest, which means as a team, you capture flags. If you're just sitting there waiting for the tank to spawn over and over and over, it does, or helicopter, it does no good. So all three of you are dicks, and I hope you die. Okay, not really, but sounds good. I think that's enough. We've thrashed enough people. And I found the sticky note. I'm so happy. if you'd like to comment on anything we discussed this evening, call us beautiful. Send us money. I have a PayPal account. You can find out all that and maybe more if you catch me on a good day by sending your emails to morphenation23@gmail.com. MorphineNation23@gmail.com. And just before we wrap up the show, now that I've given you the wonderful email address, Patrick has a shout out to someone. Take it away.
We have a gentleman. He doesn't have an Xbox Live gamer tag. He's a Sony boy, but that's okay. We'll let that slide. He has been listening to WonderPod. As a matter of fact, he went on a very long business trip where he had to drive for almost 9 hours to get to his destination. and 9 hours back. During this time, he listened to many episodes of WonderPod, keep him sane, or perhaps insane afterwards. So, to Mr. Wojtek, I would like to say thank you for listening, and I hope you keep on listening on your next travels. That's all I got.
You mean he's not been declared legally insane after 9 hours one way and 9 hours the other listening to us?
He might be lobotomized now, I'm not sure, but if he's still around.
You might want to call him after you get off the, after you get done with the show. I don't know if he's even able to speak English. I listen to this
brilliant charity work.
Yeah, yeah. Instant lobotomization. I mean, I listened to this show 3 times, and by the time it hits the posting page, it almost go fucking nuts out in 9 hours straight. Is that the one you sent me the Xbox Live text over the other night?
One of them, yeah, and Stinky Wombat.
Yeah. Well, we thank that gentleman for listening. You know, I don't blame you for buying a Sony. Hey, we all got our tastes. Okay, until episode 15, or if you're driving in your car to destinations unknown, I am Bruce McGee. I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
See y'all.
And Patrick's in NyQuil drug-induced coma now. he's seeing fucking purple elephants.
Yep.
Yeah, I could go get herpes 16 times at the Bunny Ranch in Nevada for that. and probably still have more fun even after treatment.
Yep. Hey, kids, nearly go blind from watching too much goat porn? Shut up, of course you have! Fucking everybody's gone. Good stuff.
Hello.
There you go.
I'm back.
He's going to have some fun editing when he gets back.
What have you been doing?
I started reciting the Vision Corrector 5000 commercial. Thank you.